Jesus has just spoken to his disciples regarding the biblical family. And now in the passage before us today, we learn some remarks regarding children of the covenant and their relationship to the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we study the scriptures together today, we ask that you would help us to understand the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ regarding children of the covenant and your wonderful kingdom. Please forgive our sins and bless us with a growing understanding of the Word of God and a great faithfulness to you through the blood of Christ our Savior. Amen. Hear the Word of God. I'm reading today from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Amen. This is God's holy, inspired word. May he add his wonderful blessing to our reading and hearing and understanding of it this day. In Jesus' day, parents often brought their infants and young children to important rabbis to receive a blessing from him. This indicates that these parents certainly believed that Jesus was a very important person. Now, the question, of course, is how old were these children who were being brought to Christ? Mark uses a term that speaks of small children under the age of about 12 or 13 years old, before they have begun to reach the age in which rabbis considered a child to then be a man or to be a woman. And so we're talking under the age of 11 or 12. Luke, however, in the parallel passage, uses a term that indicates infants. And so these children that are being brought to the Lord Jesus Christ are anywhere from the age of infants, babies, all the way up to perhaps 11 or 12 years of age. Now, in contrast to the prevailing culture of the day, the culture of Hellenism, which was the Greek culture that surrounded all of Judea and had influenced Judea, and the Roman culture, of course, which was brought there by the invading Roman army, these two cultures, Hellenism and Romanism, did not value small children at all. In fact, in that world, in that day, sometimes girl babies were simply cast out. We have a letter that has survived from 1 BC in which a husband writes to his expectant wife, and he says this. He says, "If it is a male child, let it live. If it was a female, cast it out." And so the idea of exposing these unwanted children to the elements for them to die alone and abandoned was a common practice in Hellenism and in the Rome of that particular day. What we read from early church history, however, is that the church rescued these babies, that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ was known from history in finding these children that had been cast aside and taking them in and rearing them in the Christian faith so that they became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so from the very earliest ages of the New Testament church, we find believers in the Lord Jesus Christ caring for, rescuing, and raising abandoned children. The custom of abandoning children continues even in our day, sadly, in some pagan cultures. For example, in India, there is still the practice of casting baby girls into the river for them to drown. And so this is not a practice that has disappeared from history, sadly, it continues in some places. Now, even if the child was male, even if we're talking about a baby boy, that child was not considered to be very important until it reached about the age of 5. The reason for that being that most children in that day died very early. The majority of the children died before age 5. And so, in a very perverted sense, parents didn't want to become too attached to a child that might not make it at all. And so they tried not to invest too much emotional energy and attachment and love to a child until that child had reached about the age of 5. And then it was thought, well, if he made it this far, then perhaps he'll live. What a horrible culture to grow up in. Parents of these little ones, these babies and these young children, are bringing their children to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mark tells us something that's interesting, that's a little different from some things we see in our culture today. He uses the masculine pronoun to speak about the parents. And what that means is it is the fathers who primarily are bringing their children to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just the mothers. We don't have a case here of mothers loving their little ones and bringing them to Jesus, but rather fathers and mothers, and primarily fathers, bringing these small children to Jesus for His blessing. And so what we have pictured before us is the picture of covenant households where the mothers and the fathers are believers, where they realize that their children are important in the eyes of God, and therefore they bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive the blessing of the Lord upon their small ones. What strikes us immediately is what the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ did when these parents brought these little children to Jesus. They tried to shoo them away. They tried to stop them from coming. They rebuked them. It's that same term that's used, rebuke, that was used of the disciples attempting to rebuke the man who was casting out demons in Jesus' name. And so they bring this strong negative rebuke against these parents. Don't bother Jesus with these insignificant little ones. Now, they're probably doing this because perhaps they had simply imbibed in the culture surrounding them, and perhaps they did not believe that these children were all that important at this time. Or perhaps they thought that these unimportant creatures, these little ones, were a distraction upon Jesus and His great ministry as the Messiah. So please don't sidetrack Him. He's got more important things to do than look at your children. Or perhaps they were believing to a certain extent the same type of thing that the Pharisees believed, which was that salvation comes by means of merit, that salvation comes by means of earning the blessings of God and not solely by grace. They're still learning from the Lord Jesus Christ at this point. And so perhaps they thought that the children were unimportant. Perhaps they thought the children were a distraction, or perhaps they thought that the children were unworthy because they couldn't earn the grace of God by any effort whatsoever. But whatever the reason happens to be, they seek to prevent these children from being brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they do so out of some sort of mistaken zeal for their master. When Jesus saw what was happening, He immediately rebuked His disciples in the strongest possible terms. Mark says when Jesus saw it, He was greatly displeased with His disciples. This is the only place in Scripture where the Bible tells us that Jesus was greatly displeased. It's a term that means supremely indignant. He became so strongly upset over what His disciples were doing that He rebuked them in the strongest possible terms. Now, He says two things to them, a positive command and a negative command. And the positive command is allow these children to come to me. Allow them. It means that the disciples are to leave them alone. Stop trying to hinder them. Stop trying to prevent them from coming. Suffer the little children is the term that's used in the King James Bible. And suffer there doesn't mean to cause harm to it. It means please allow them. Do not stop them. Allow them to come or to be brought to me. That's the positive command. The negative command is do not forbid them from coming. And so Jesus in no uncertain terms says you must allow them, you must not forbid them coming to me. What is the reason for which Jesus gives this command, allow them to come, do not forbid them from coming? He says, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's an interesting statement. Why does Jesus say that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, belongs to such as these? Is Jesus saying all children are saved? No, he is not saying that. The Bible tells us that all children, all people, those who are Christians now and those who never become Christians at all, all of us are born as children under the wrath of Almighty God. Ephesians 2, verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. Well, Paul is talking about among those who are enemies of God, those who have gone astray from God, those who are sinful from our mother's wombs onward. We conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, hear this, children of wrath, just as the others. And so even those who are Christians today were born children of wrath, as are all men. And so Jesus is not teaching that all children go to heaven. Is he saying then, and why is that not the case? It's not the case because children are not born good. Children are not even born neutral. Children are born under the wrath of God because children are sinners from their mother's womb. However, what Jesus is saying here that we need to understand is that these children who are being brought to him, these children are children of believing parents. They are covenant children. They are being brought as little ones to the Lord Jesus Christ by parents, moms and dads who trust in the Lord God of Holy Scripture, who see in Jesus Christ the Messiah. And so they are bringing their little ones to him because they have faith in him. They desire for Jesus to bless their little ones with the blessing of Almighty God. The prayer that Jesus offers must have included as well a request to his Father to grant to these little ones the wonderful benefits of his shed blood that he will be offering up upon the cross for his elect people. And so there's an implication for you and me as Christian parents today. We're talking only to Christian parents now. We're not talking to all men. Those apart from Christ have no part in this blessing and no claim upon this blessing. But those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ do have a claim upon this blessing of God, and that is that our children are indeed valuable to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not insignificant. They are not a bother to our great Savior, but instead, and they are not totally apart from the blessings of the covenant of grace. Think about what blessings accrue to them as children of believers. Number one, they are being raised in a believing household where faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is seen and practiced. And number two, they are being instructed by their parents in the Word of God, in prayer, in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So from the very earliest age, they are being instructed to believe, and they are being prayed for on a constant basis by these believing mothers and fathers who desire to see their little ones also embrace the Lord Jesus Christ by faith themselves, just as the parents have done. And so they, these covenant children, are declared to be heirs of the kingdom of God. And they are to appropriate that wonderful blessing by faith, personal faith, in the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. As Sinclair Ferguson says in his commentary on Mark at this place, if the blessings of God are rejected in disobedience, they are forfeited. And so this is not an automatic thing. We pray for them, we pray with them, we encourage them, we teach them the holy doctrines of our Christian religion, and we urge upon our children that they appropriate these very blessings by personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's happening as these parents are bringing their infants and their young children to the Savior. And now the Lord Jesus Christ surprisingly applies what he has just said regarding these small children to adults. He says, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Now, is he saying, as some people mistakenly think, you must become innocent? You must become angelic to enter the kingdom of God, and that usually comes from people who think that children are innocent creatures. Yes, they're innocent of having committed a crime that man can punish. They are not innocent of sin, for they're born in sin. And they are not angelic little creatures. Anyone who's ever had a small child knows that babies are selfish from the get-go. Some more selfish than others in terms of their expression, but they are. And so it's not saying that adults have to become angelic, adults have to become innocent, nor is it saying that adults must become submissive and willing in some way, looking at that as children. But rather, I think what is being said here that we need to understand is that adults and children, in order to receive the blessings of the kingdom of God, can only receive those as a gift given by God Himself. Now, don't forget that in Jesus' day, children had no standing in society. They are insignificant as far as the Hellenistic and the Roman culture is concerned. And therefore, for such an insignificant person to receive anything at all in that day, it had to be based not on merit, and not on standing in the community, but as a gift and as a gift alone. It could only come as given to them, not as earned by them or not as merited or their being worthy of it in some way by some social standing. And so that means for us as adults, we need to realize that the kingdom of God cannot be earned by effort on our part. And it cannot be given according to our standing in society. The Pharisees in Jesus' day thought that works of righteousness earned them a good standing before God. And so in the Gospel according to Luke, Jesus tells the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. And the Pharisee comes and he prays something like this: "I thank you, God, that I am not like other men. I fast, I tithe, I do this, I do that, I do the other." And so what the Pharisee is doing in his so-called prayer is he is reciting to God just how worthy he is, just how much he has done to earn God's blessing. But Jesus tells us that the other man, who would not even look up to heaven, but had his eyes downcast and continually beat his breast, said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And Jesus tells us it was that man, the sinner, who went away justified. He recognized he had no social standing. He recognized that he had no merit to offer up to God. He recognized that only if God were merciful could he receive anything from him. And that's what Jesus is telling us when he says, you must become and receive the kingdom like a little child. You must receive it by God's mercy. You must receive it by God's grace. You must receive it as a freely given gift. You cannot earn it. You do not deserve it. But it is offered and it is given to those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is not a merit. That is simply an empty, open hand that God has given to a person with no arms to receive the blessing of the kingdom of God given in Christ. And so that's the only way, my friend, that you can receive or enter the kingdom of God is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, based on His merits alone, not yours, based on His standing alone, not yours, based on the mercy and the grace and the willingness of God to give such things to His elect people. And this is why Jesus is so indignant with His own disciples. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. It's His way of reminding us, as I said, that in order for you to be able to enter God's kingdom, you must receive it as a freely given gift. You must understand it is not something you work hard to earn. You must understand that the kingdom of God is a gift. It is not a right. It is given by grace. It is not merited by your qualifications. And so Jesus was indignant with His disciples because they were turning the message of God's kingdom from one of freely given grace in and through the Lord Jesus Christ into a message that was similar to that of the Pharisees, that God's kingdom is earned by man's effort and by man's merit and by man's standing. And that's not true. That is a false statement about God and about His kingdom. So what did Jesus do with these little children that were brought to Him? He did three things. The first thing He did was to take them up. He took them up in His arms. He picked them up. He held them. He embraced them. He gathered them up in His arms. And then He laid His hands upon them. He placed His hands upon these children, just like the Old Testament patriarchs, as they imparted a blessing to their sons. Jesus imparted a blessing by laying His hands upon these little ones. And it says, He blessed them. He gave them the blessings of His grace, not because they're free of sin, not because they are worthy in themselves of such blessings, but because they are His in the covenant of grace. He is the King of the kingdom. They are in His kingdom. They partake of His kingdom, and He blesses them as their king. And so the blessing of the Lord is given to these little ones freely, and it is received by them based on the love of the giver, not on the worthiness of the receiver, the recipient. It's not based on any worth in those children. It's based entirely upon the love of God. And that's what Jesus gives to them. Now, what that means for you and me today, friend, is that Jesus' message for us is the very same thing. To enter into the kingdom of God, you must receive that kingdom as a little child. Do not ever think that you have to become good enough to earn the kingdom. Do not ever think that there are certain requirements that you can actually fulfill in order to merit the kingdom of God, to make yourself worthy of that kingdom. Instead, what you need to realize is what Jesus tells his disciples and what he demonstrates with these children, and that is that for anyone, from an infant all the way up to a person who is on his deathbed, for anyone to ever enter the kingdom of God, he must receive it as a free gift of God given by the Lord Jesus Christ and received by faith alone in Christ. And so, to receive that gift, you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an automatic thing. It is something that is tied to faith. Even faith, of course, is a gift of God, given to the elect of God, but you must exercise that faith. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do, that is not merit. That is not worthiness on your part. That is acceptance of a freely given gift, the gift of eternal life in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And it is received, as I mentioned a minute ago, by the hand of faith. And that very hand of faith is given to you as a person who has no arms, who is born in rebellion against sin, who is called upon to reach out but has no arm to reach out. And so the gift of the hand of faith is given to the elect of God to receive that free gift of salvation that is offered by Christ to his people. If you have never done so before, this is the first time that you're hearing that you must receive salvation. You must enter the kingdom of God by faith and faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you must receive it as a small child, as one who simply is given a gift that you cannot earn. Then turn to Christ today. Turn from your sins. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive that gift of the kingdom of God. That gift of salvation offered in the gospel of Jesus Christ by trusting in Christ and in Christ alone. Do not put that off. Trust in Him and in Him today. Amen.